Hello and welcome to this emergency edition of the 538 Politics Podcast. My name is Galen Druk, and it looks like today is going to be our last Mueller Friday after a long tradition of Mueller Fridays. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has concluded his investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election and submitted his report to Attorney General Bill Barr. Now, to be clear, we don't know yet what is in the report, so today's podcast is going to be on the shorter side. We're going to lay out what the next steps are and when we might learn more. And then as soon as we do learn more, we'll be back with updates and maybe some more emergency podcasts. So stay tuned. Today, we're just going to talk about what we do know. And so here with me to discuss that is 538 contributor and legal reporter Amelia Thompson-DeVoe. Amelia, how's it going?
I'm good. It's bittersweet that this is our last Mueller Friday.
After all the speculation, the investigation is over. And I should also mention here for listeners that Amelia is actually on vacation right now. So Amelia, thank you so much for being a champ and joining me for this podcast anyway and sharing your vacation time with us.
No problem. I'm actually in California, so it is much earlier here than it is for you all on the East Coast. So I'm doing great.
Hopefully we'll be able to wrap it up in time for you to still enjoy the sun setting in California and have a nice dinner. But let's get to it. So what did we learn today from the Attorney General about Mueller's report?
Well, so we learned that he submitted it, and that's a big piece of information. We also learned that Mueller was not sort of stopped in any of his decisions by the Department of Justice. That's something that the Attorney General has to report to Congress. So, you know, let's say Mueller wanted to indict someone, some higher up in the Justice Department says, no, you can't do that. That has to be reported to Congress under the special counsel guidelines. And that did not happen, according to Barr's letter. So that's sort of a big deal.
Can we take from that that there wasn't any political interference into the Mueller investigation?
I mean, we can certainly take from that that sort of Mueller was in charge of the prosecutorial decisions and that he wasn't stymied in those decisions by higher-ups at DOJ. I mean, obviously, what is meant by political influence could be a lot broader. So I wouldn't want to say, you know, we know definitively that there was no political influence, but it is a big deal. You know, there had been speculation about whether Mueller would be stopped specifically from indicting certain people, and it seems that that was not the case.
All right. So what else did we learn from Bill Barr's letter?
So we learned that he is reviewing the report now and that he will be submitting a summary to Congress and that that summary will also be made public. And, you know, that could come quite soon. He said in his letter it could be as soon as this weekend. So we may have a sense really within the next couple days of what the top line findings of the Mueller report are, at least the ones that Attorney General Barr perceives as important. And the other thing we learned is that, according to a DOJ spokesperson, Mueller is not recommending further indictments, which is another sort of important piece of information. Obviously, you know, threads from this investigation could still be spun off into other investigations by career Department of Justice attorneys, but the count that we have for charges is going to stay the same.
Does this mean that Mueller's job is over? He can go back to retirement now? We're not going to hear any more from him?
I mean, you know, he's done with this investigation. There's always the possibility that, you know, he might be called to testify before Congress. You know, I don't think we can say definitively at this point that we have absolutely heard the last from Bob Mueller, but he is done with this investigation and, you know, I think can get a long-awaited and long-deserved rest.
And so now that his investigation is over, we can take stock of all of the indictments during that investigation and put it in historical perspective. So what can we say about the number of indictments and how that compares to past investigations?
So the total number of indictments is actually pretty high compared to other investigations. Mueller has charged 34 people in this investigation. And, you know, that's a pretty high number historically. But you know, I think to put that in context, the reason that that number is so high is because Mueller indicted a lot of Russian nationals, and those people are not going to see the inside of a U.S. courtroom, almost certainly, because the U.S. doesn't have an extradition treaty with Russia. So, you know, the sort of actual number of people who will go through the U.S. justice system and have pleaded guilty or been convicted is much lower. It's 7, and one person, Roger Stone, still to be tried. And so in historical perspective, you know, that doesn't put the Russia investigation really at the top of comparable investigations. It's certainly not nothing. It's important to remember that a lot of special counsel and independent counsel investigations didn't yield any charges at all, but it's not the highest by any means.
What are the Attorney General's obligations now in terms of what kind of information they have to give to Congress or the public?
So the Attorney General has to give a summary to Congress, and certainly there are many in Congress who want him to release the full report. And the question here will be how transparent he feels he can be and how transparent he wants to be. There may be information that, you know, is classified. There may be information that, you know, simply they don't feel is appropriate to release under Department of Justice policies. So we shouldn't expect the full report to drop this weekend for a number of reasons, but I think there is going to be a fight to try to get more information than what we'll get in this initial summary, which is what is sort of required under the law.
And is it required that the public see that summary?
It's not, but we, according to what we've heard today, the summary will be made public when it's submitted to Congress.
All right. So what does the timeline look like for when we could expect to find out more information?
You know, Barr said in his letter, it could be as soon as this weekend. And certainly finding out the top line results, that's going to matter a lot politically because, you know, there's kind of a wide range of outcomes here. And if there's information about, you know, potentially the president being implicated somehow in criminal behavior, that will have significant political fallout. If it seems, you know, the president is really exonerated, isn't, you know, he and his close associates who have not yet been implicated are sort of given a kind of clean legal bill. I don't know what the legal equivalent of clean bill of health would be, but whatever that is. So, you know, I think this summary will sort of help set the tone for the political showdown that we will almost certainly see over whether the full report is released.
So the report has left Mueller's hands and is now at the Department of Justice. Beyond this summary that Barr is required to give to Congress, I mean, should we expect leaks? What do we know about how tightly the Department of Justice will hold this information? I mean, is there a chance that they go and talk to the White House about it, or reporters, or members of Congress?
So, you know, certainly they could be talking to the White House, especially as they're determining what to release, whether, you know, some information might be covered by executive privilege. I mean, I think it's a little hard to predict how much of this will leak. The special counsel's team has been incredibly airtight. And I would imagine that this is being pretty closely held at the top of the Department of Justice. But the fact that, you know, it's once it's left the special counsel's hands, that's more people who have seen it. So, you know, I guess I don't want to predict too much, but the likelihood of leaks, I guess, always increases after it has left Robert Mueller's extremely tight ship.
You mentioned that the White House and Democrats in Congress, depending on what is in the report, will have certain incentives to try to push information out there or not. What do we know about how both sides have been positioning already around the report coming out?
Well, the Democrats over the past couple of weeks have been doing two things. One is sort of demanding that the full report be made public, so sort of setting that up as like the baseline of what they expect. But then they've also been doing something to sort of, I think, hedge against the report not being incredibly damning or even possibly exonerating for the president, specifically with regard to coordination with Russia during the 2016 election by basically saying, you know, Mueller's report is important, but it's it's just the beginning. We have all of these other investigations, and those need to continue. So that's sort of what we've been seeing from the Democrats. And obviously, I think, you know, depending on how the report, you know, turns out for the president or how ambiguous it is, I think we'll, you know, we could see more of both of those things. And then, you know, the president's talking point on the Mueller investigation for many years, or at least the year and a half that it has been going, has been that it's a witch hunt and it's politically motivated. And so, you know, you can imagine that if the results come out and are not favorable for him, we'll hear more of that. It will be interesting to see, you know, if the report ends up being more favorable to him or exonerating to him. You know, I don't know if it'll still be a witch hunt at that point. I guess he would say maybe it has been, but those, I think, are the kind of likely things to watch as we move forward.
Well, of course, we will learn more in the coming days. But as we wrap up, what's the range of outcomes here that we could see once we find out what's in the actual report?
Well, I think the outcome that would obviously be best for the president is one where, you know, the report basically says there was no wrongdoing by the president or his campaign. I think on the other side, you know, there had been these sort of two threads to the investigation that Mueller was pursuing and the reportedly pursuing. One had to do specifically with Russian interference in the 2016 election, and the other was then the sort of layer on top of it, whether the president obstructed justice with relation to the Russia investigation. So, you know, the report that Mueller has filed is a summary of his decisions to indict or not indict people. And that could be a very spare report. It could be a much longer report that sort of contains more detail. That's really up to Mueller and then obviously then up to Barr in terms of what gets released. But, you know, we could have a scenario where the president is implicated in some kind of criminal activity or, you know, where the campaign and people close to the president are implicated. And then, of course, there's another outcome where, you know, we don't know the full extent of the report. We get a summary, but, you know, there are questions about whether more of the report will have more relevant information. And so another outcome is that, you know, we just don't know what's in the full Mueller report.
And of course, that likely then sets off somewhat of a fight in Congress over how much information we end up getting to see. And of course, we will see if that happens in the coming days. But I think that's it for now. Thank you so much, Amelia, for joining me today.
Of course. Happy to, Galen.
As I mentioned, we will have more podcast updates as soon as we find out more. Until then, my name is Galen Druk. Tony Chow is in the control room. You can get in touch by emailing us at podcasts@538.com. You can also, of course, tweet at us with any questions or comments. If you're a fan of the show, leave us a rating or review in the Apple Podcast Store or tell someone about us. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.